Let's go to John 3. I'm sharing verses 16 and 17 this year out of the Voice translation. It reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. How many of you are ambassadors for Christ? You're not here to judge the world. Amen. You're not here to judge the world. We're here to rescue a world that's headed towards certain destruction, and we can't forget that. Amen? I've been talking to you about basic truths. I call them fundamentals. And I don't care what you do, they're fundamentals that are involved. Period. They're little basic building blocks that have to be in place if you are going to be successful. And we need to identify the fundamentals and take the time. Everyone say, take the time. Take the time that's necessary to not just learn them, but to master them. I remember one of our young men had a basketball game, told me I went to see the game. And as part of their warm-up routine, they would do this little three-man weave. And it's simple, but it's too complicated to explain it verbally. Okay, all right. But it's very, very, very fundamental pattern. And, well, basically, you pass the ball, you go behind the person you pass the ball to. You don't pass the ball to a person and run in front of them. What do you think will happen if you do that? Well, they come crashing into each other, right, Martin? So you pass and you go behind. Well, when you do that from half court, the person that starts in the middle and passes off to the corner and goes behind, now he's coming in at the right angle for a layup. Well, in the game, this young man, he stole the ball. Now he's in the middle of the court and he has two men on either side. He runs straight down the middle of the court and dribbles the ball off the leg or something, whatever, there was a turnover. And after the game, I said to them, I said, remember when you stole the ball? Yeah. I said, why do you do that drill before the game? You would do that little weave. He said, oh, that's just to warm us up and get us loose. I said, no. I said, that's a basic fundamental play. I said, you had the ball in the middle of the court. He said, and all I had to do was give it to the wing. And then I said, right. The coach never taught them that. Never taught them that. Basketball 101. And he wasn't taught that, so he didn't know. He didn't know. See, they're fundamentals that we have to learn. Because once you become fundamentally sound, you see it in everything that comes. It doesn't matter how complicated it is. You see it. And then you can act on it. So we have to identify fundamentals. Let's go to Mark 11. I've told you this before. I played a game. They threw me a pass. I missed the pass. One time. We didn't even lose the game. Go to practice. Coach like, Foots, I need you to go to the wall. I'm like, what do you mean go to the wall? Had to go to the wall with the basketball. That's, if this is the wall, I would stand about this far from the wall. And I, for an hour, I'm like, throw the ball against the wall and catch it. Is it faster? I'm like, every practice, I never dropped another ball. But it was boring. And that's one of the things about fundamentals. They can be boring. And they're time consuming. But after you master it, you have a good time, Moses. I'm telling you, once you get it down, you have a lot of fun. And you experience a lot of success. So in Mark 11, 22 to 24, King James Version says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, from that, we called out five fundamentals. The first fundamental is you have to have faith in God. Because if you don't have faith in God and you don't believe God is everything the Bible says he is, when someone says to you, well, God will take care of that, you won't have a reference point. Someone says, my God shall supply all your need. If they don't know anything about your God, that statement, while true, won't mean anything to them. So we need to understand that there has to be visible proof that God is working in our lives. Visible. But if we don't understand that fundamental, we won't have faith in God and there won't be any proof. But who is the one that told them to have faith in God? So you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Because if you don't believe he's the Christ, it doesn't matter what he says. That's why when folks, I'll be in conversations and sometimes I have to bite the inside of my cheek and sometimes I don't. But when folks say things to me and I do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Of course I do, Pastor. Why are you acting like that? Why are you saying this? Why are you doing that? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that should be the benchmark for our behavior. Jesus said you have to speak to the mountain. He didn't say talk about the mountain. See, talking, you know what talking about the mountain is? How many of you were here last Wednesday? Do you remember what talking about the mountain is called? Murmuring and complaining. And if you're going to do that, then you might as well move to Massa and Mirabeau. Okay. Because that was the place of murmuring and complaining. You can talk about the mountain from now until Jesus comes. It's not going anywhere. And Jesus didn't say talk about it. He said speak to it. You must believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. It's fundamental. Because if you don't believe it, you won't have it. And the last one we got from that scripture is you have to know. You have to know that you will have what you say. Period. That's why you need to be mindful of what you say, even when you feel you're joking around. The circumstance is not going to say, well, hey, just kidding. No, it's going to take those words and run with them. So we need to start being better stewards of what we allow to come out of our mouth. And then there was another fundamental that God gave us. Let's go to Matthew 17. I want to read this account to you, and I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. I just believe the Message Bible illustrates best just how Jesus was feeling. All right. This is after Jesus was with his disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says at the bottom, and they came down from the mountain. It says at the bottom of the mountain, picking up at verse 14, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees begging, Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently, he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. And this is the key part, folks. They said to Jesus, I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him. nothing. Think of that. You're Jesus. And you've taken time to personally train this group of people. You've modeled. You've taught with parables. You've demonstrated. You've used every learning style and teaching strategy there is. You even gave them power over unclean spirits and told them to go out and cast these spirits out of people, and they did. And now this man brings a child to them and they can't do nothing? What's the matter with them? I don't think Jesus was feeling, oh, they'll be fine. I think he was upset. Because think about it. One of the things that I understood when I became part of the leadership team here in the ministry years ago, I understood that whatever I did reflected on Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. Yes. Because wherever I went, I was their representative, whether I liked it or not. Okay. And there were places I was invited to where I know the only reason I was invited was because I was connected with Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. The disciples were connected with Jesus. So if Jesus taught them and they can't do it, maybe he's a fraud. Maybe what he taught them isn't true. So there are all these things that are going on. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, "What a generation! No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here." He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? Listen to Jesus' answer. Because you're not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing that you wouldn't be able to tackle. Folks, the other fundamental here is that you must take God seriously. And you're like, well, what does that mean? The Message Bible explained it. No sense of God. No sense. You don't sense God's presence. You don't look for it. No focus to your lives. And then the part that we're going to spend the most time talking about was when he said to them, how many times do I have to go over this? You know what he was telling them? When are you going to pay attention? Years ago, when I started teaching chapel at Love Christian Academy, we taught a lesson, failure is not an option. And in that lesson, I had researched what the known causes were for failure. And at that time, it's different today, but back then, the number one cause of reason as to why people fail, not paying attention. Not paying attention. See, it's not that teaching wasn't available. It's not that wisdom wasn't available. And it's not that those things weren't shared. They were. Folks are not paying attention. It's we treat things like it's the announcements here at the ministry. Okay? We have someone up here, and they're going reading the list of things that are happening, and folks are filling out their offering envelopes or doing other things, but they're not paying attention. And then when the event comes, I didn't know about it. It was announced 687 times. Okay. But you were not paying attention. And that's what happens to believers. We're not paying attention when we're being taught the word. We're putting our own spin on it, and we're not really taking in what's being said. See, when you pay attention to something that you've heard, you look for it in everything that you do. You look for that principle. But if you're not paying attention, it's right over your head. Right over your head. And someone will have to keep saying the same thing over and over and over. I clearly remember calling Pastor Clinton one Tuesday, whining, complaining, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that, and I don't know what to do, and blah, 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 blah. I could see his face through the phone. He said, Gregory, I'm going to take time away from preparing for over 2,000 people to talk to you because I know that you're new. He said, I don't ever in life want to hear you talking about what the devil is doing. Then his voice changed. He said, he's supposed to do that because he's the devil. He said, when you start doing what you're supposed to do, what the devil does won't matter. Then he said something that stunned me. He said, obviously you were not paying attention on Sunday when I said, I was like, ooh, ouch. But he was right. How many of you sit down to pray and something you need to buy from the store pops into your head? Okay, right? Or something comes up. Well, and you think, oh, the Holy Ghost reminded me. No, that was the devil distracting you so that you wouldn't pay attention. And I found out then that I hadn't. See, you got to be honest with yourself. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. I was not paying attention to everything that was said. Yeah, I'd hear the good stuff, but I was not paying attention. So when circumstances came up, I didn't know what to do, even though it was taught in my presence. But if I am not paying attention, then even though it's being taught, I'm not learning. And folks, we have to learn. We have to learn this word. We have to understand the principles and then put them to use. Hearing it is not enough. Proverbs says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Remember the parable of the sower?
Yes.
When you hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away the word that was sown in your heart. So hearing it is not enough. You need to understand it. When I was flying that drone yesterday, I had some concerns. And the guy said, why are you so tentative? I said, I don't want it to come crashing to the ground. Because I'm thinking if I'm not moving the controls, it's coming down. He said, no, just let go of the controls. He said, it's designed that it'll just hover until you tell it to do something. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. You know. And so I learned. Next thing you know, I have the thing is zooming all over the place. I learned the principle. I understood it. I paid attention to what I was taught, just like I paid attention when they taught me how to put out a fire. But see, if you're not paying attention, you're not taking God seriously. Do you understand?
Yes.
See, I was very conscious when my nose opened up. I was very conscious of God. Very conscious. You know, I got very emotional during that song, I've Been Captured by a Love I Can't Explain, because I can't explain to you why God loves me the way he does. He just does. And because I belong to him, he has to take care of me. And he does, and I'm grateful. I was able to endure the pain. I didn't enjoy the pain, but I had to endure the pain. And I did that because I was not going to separate myself from the distraction. I looked up that word, distraction, yesterday. It means that which distracts. Okay. But it also means divides the attention or prevents concentration. Now think about divide the attention for a moment. James tells us that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in what? In how many of his ways? So if your attention is divided, what do you become? Because you are now double-minded. You're double-minded. We spend too much time focusing on distractions instead of paying attention to what God said about the distractions. See, Jesus told us, just like he told us, he said, listen, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Well, if you pay attention to that, the thought has to be, well, what's the power of the enemy? What do you think the power of the enemy is? To keep you off balance. What are some examples of the power of the enemy? Sickness, poverty, fear. Oh, circumstances, stuff, nonsense, all of those are the power of the enemy. But if we pay attention to what Jesus said, guess what we'll understand? We have power over that. See, one translation says he's given us physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm us. If we pay attention to that, we'll stop being bent out of shape when stuff happens. Amen. I mean, classic example. And if I'm in your group, please don't send this to me anymore. But folks they're sending around this thing about this movie Corpus Christi. And it's a horrible movie. They depict Jesus and the disciples as homosexuals. Show me the scripture where Jesus said, and you have to defend who I am. Obviously, those folks don't know who Christ is. And they are not going to learn it by you boycotting and picketing. They're going to learn it by us living the life, loving them, living the life. But we are wasting time sending out, texting, Facebook, group messaging, talking about this. Why? I haven't seen one text talking about how we can reach those people. What, we're not paying attention to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't say preach the gospel to those who are living right, those who agree with what you agree. It's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we get distracted now. So now our attention is on this movie that allegedly is coming out. Depending on what you look at, some say it is and some say it's a hoax. Who knows? But it shouldn't mean beans to you because you should be about your Father's business. We don't have to defend who Christ is. He is who he is. We have to live like we understand who Christ is. But if we're not paying attention to that, we'll get caught off in all these other things and take us away from what it is that we're supposed to be doing, and that's representing Jesus Christ. Showing this world that God operates through people for their behalf. That's what we need to be doing, and that's what we need to pay attention to. Do you see that? Do you see that for real? Listen to, where is it? It's a translation of James' Message Bible. Yeah. James 1:5-8, the Message Bible, says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Listen to this, folks. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master in this way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. See, that means you go into it like, okay, I'm going to ask God, but if God doesn't do it, then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. I mean, that's what we do. I would tell the young people when I was the youth director, I said, listen, why are you applying to 5 to 6 different colleges? And they all answered the same way. Well, they say you need to apply to at least 5. Well, which one did God tell you to go to? I mean, I said, look, find out where God wants you to go and go to that one. What are they, do these places give you a refund if you decide you're not going to go? How much does it cost? Do these applications cost now? It was $50, $200 if you were going first edition. What is it now? $100? Okay, so how many of you have an extra $500, $600 to spend on application fees? So you spend all this money out, you go to the school guide, and now you're looking for money to buy books and things. The God, you said you would provide it. He didn't tell you to spend that money in all these different places. But we need to think about that. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He didn't say ask your college advisor. He said ask God. Our daughter's college advisor tried to talk us out of sending her to the school where God said to send her. And I was not careful in how I answered her. I said, listen, God said, well, what do they offer her? What are they offering? Doesn't matter. What type of financial package? Doesn't matter. But she can go to Brown University and get a full scholarship. God didn't say send her to Brown University. He said send her to the College of William and Mary. Done. I'll tell you something. If sent her to any other college, we wouldn't have gotten a call from the college saying we're giving her the money for her tuition. We probably wouldn't have gotten a call from the person that said I'm supposed to pay her tuition for the first year. She was where God sent her provisions. Well, we were paying attention. But then while we were down there, God gave us a plan. And I didn't pay attention to the plan. He said, get a four-bedroom house. Go to the auction, get a four-bedroom house, put her in it, pay her as the property manager, go to InterVarsity, get the other tenants. I mean, he just laid it out. I went to the auction. They had a house about 2 blocks from downtown Williamsburg. 4 bedrooms, I think it was 3.5 bathrooms. I walk up there on the steps of this place, and I see this woman walking around talking to herself, and right away I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Turned out that she was the auctioneer. No one was at this auction except who? Me. And so I start talking to her. What is this about? What's the process? Well, the bank gets the first bid, and then you bid what you want. I said, you mean I could bid $1? She said, yeah. Oh, your dollar over the previous bank's bid? Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is okay. So they started the auction. Said, we have a bid, $60,000. Are there any other bids? And she looks at me, Are there any other bids? I'm like Ralph Cramden, humming. Why? I'm no longer paying attention to what God said. I'm paying attention to where are you going to get the money for the down payment, and where are you going to get this, and where are you going to get that, and what. And next thing I heard was sold. Well, when Vicky graduated, that house was worth $4 million. I could have had it for $60,000 and $60,001. We could have had it. I didn't pay attention. I was double-minded because I'm too busy trying to think, how am I going to get the provisions to do what God said? Like it's up to me. It's not up to us, folks. See, there's things that we forget, just like the disciples forgot. They forgot that Jesus was the Christ, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They forgot that. They forgot that they saw Jesus and they experienced him feeding the 4,000, the 5,000. They watched Jesus heal multitudes of people. They witnessed Jesus and Peter walking on the water. They witnessed all this before they encountered that demon-possessed boy. And they didn't even consider that Jesus gave them power. The same power that Jesus had, he gave it to them. They weren't paying attention to that. All they were paying attention to was we're seeing something that we have never seen before. Folks, I had never seen blood come out of my body like that before. And I hope I never have to see it again. But what am I going to do? The only thing to do is to believe what God said. Period. You can't get thrown just because it's different. I know I've shared this before, but I talk with people all the time and things happen, and they say, well, Pastor, I didn't expect it. And I ask them all the same question. Would you have felt better if you did? It doesn't matter that you didn't expect it. All that matters is it happened. What are you going to do? Were you paying attention? Do you understand how to use what was given to you? How many of you, we have anybody here that was ever in the Army, military, law enforcement, carried a weapon? Did they spend a significant amount of time teaching you all about that weapon? Why do you think they did that? They knew you were going to need it, and it was going to save your life. And if you weren't paying attention, and you pull your weapon and point it in the wrong direction, you're dead. Well, in the same manner, folks, if you're not paying attention, and you don't develop an understanding of this word and what it does for you, and you get into a crisis situation and you use it the wrong way, you might be standing before Jesus before your time. Why did you allow this to happen? I didn't allow it to happen. You did. So remember, I'm the one that gave you power over this thing. But you weren't paying attention. We have to take God seriously. And if we're not paying attention, we're not taking him seriously. See, one of the hardest things we have to do, this isn't in my notes, this just popped up. Jesus said, new commandment I give you, love one another. Then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. yet we believers who say we're paying attention have aught against other folks. And sometimes we're glad about it. Yesterday, I figured I'd do something nice. I was driving the car that Deacon Phyllis usually drives. And, you know, I said, well, let me take it through the car wash. You know, it needed to be vacuumed out, and I didn't want to vacuum, so I took it to the car wash. Funny thing is, as I'm driving the car wash, I'm hearing they're going to lock your keys in the car. And I'm thinking, this is electronic ignition. If that little, you know, fob is in the car. So I dismissed it. Car's going through, and then I hear all of the equipment stop. And a gentleman says, sir, yes, did you have the black Taurus? Yes. The keys are locked in the car. Like, excuse me? Said, we want to know what you want to do. I'm like, I'm not the one who locked them in the car. Then the person said to me, you're supposed to have the code to open the door. And I said to them, and you're supposed to service the car without locking the keys in it. But then the thought came, do you want this person to ever walk through the doors of Redeeming Love Christian Center? And the answer to that question is, absolutely. Absolutely. So I had to immediately catch myself and pay attention to who I am in Christ. And the moment I did that, because I called the car dealer and they were willing to go through their files to get me the key code, but the Holy Spirit reminded me, he said, no, you programmed it into your phone. I said, no, not the edge. Like, I'm telling him, no, not the edge, the Taurus. Like he doesn't know. And he said, you programmed it in your phone. And I looked it up and put Taurus. Bing, there it is. You know. And I said, it's open. So they finished cleaning it. So why am I telling you that? That was a great opportunity for me to miss it big time. See, one of the things we have to get over is being right. Okay. Because I was right. I was right. You're supposed to be more responsible in that. You don't lock keys in someone's car when they're going through the car wash. It's like they're going to travel around with two sets of keys. And the person said, he said, I can open the door. I said, you're going to put scratches up? Maybe. Uh-uh. You're not putting any scratches on this car. But I'm telling you this, folks, to let you know, if you're not paying attention, the circumstance will cause you to become double-minded. Because you'll be focusing on the circumstance more so than who you are. I should have been paying attention when God said to me, they're going to lock your keys in the car. Because he's telling me that as I'm online, there are about 15 cars ahead of me. I'm online, and that thoughts keep coming in my head. And I dismissed it. I even rebuked it. I did. I'm like, devil, you're just trying to get me aggravated. I didn't ask God if he was trying to tell me something. I didn't ask God, what should I do about this voice that I'm hearing? Look at Luke 4. See, folks, there's a difference between hearing or seeing and paying attention to what you've heard or seen. There's a difference. We're very good at hearing and seeing. We have to become better at paying attention to that which we've heard and that which we have seen. Luke 4, beginning at verse 1, King James Version, says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by who? Okay. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Let me tell you something about that word, hungered. Okay? Because I think in these cases, it's important to understand what Jesus is feeling, because the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, just like we are, yet without sin. Okay? But when you study out that word hungered, it means to be hungry, but it also means to suffer want. That means that you're in distress about this thing that you think you need. Okay? It means to be needy. And then metaphorically, listen to this, it means to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire. So Jesus wasn't just hungry. He was like, I gotta eat. Give me a, I'll even take a burger, something. You know, 40 days in a desert, heat pounding down on you, no food, no energy. And the devil figured, well, this is a great time to divide Jesus' attention. So he said, listen, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. See, the devil was trying to cause Jesus to become double-minded because he wanted Jesus to doubt that he was the Son of God. Because if you're the Son of God, you shouldn't be hungry. Whatever happened to my God shall supply all my need. You hungry, buddy. Maybe you're not the Son of God. But we can clear that up. Turn the stone into bread. See, Jesus was paying attention. He said, no, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. They all said, boy, that didn't work. Okay. But Jesus paid attention to God's word. He didn't pay attention to what his stomach was saying. He didn't pay attention to what his emotions and his feelings were saying, because they had to be screaming out, you need to eat now. Now. I mean, I couldn't wait to get home yesterday because my body felt like it was water depleted. And I had to get home and just hydrate. My body was saying, I need water. If you don't give me water, I'm going to lay down right here. I mean, that's I mean, that's what it does. Okay. But Jesus understood, man shall not live by bread alone. What he was saying was, God is my source, and I don't have to rely on natural things. He was paying attention, folks. Then the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore shall worship me, all shall be thine. But see, he didn't need the devil to give him any power. God had already given him all the power that he needed. And he stayed locked in to what God said. In Isaiah 53, God told Jesus everything he was going to go through. Jesus was paying attention. So when the devil said all of it, he already knew that. He already knew it. And he had already got it set. When he said he would come, when he said yes, it was done. It was finished as far as he was concerned. Jesus answered, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall they serve. And I thought it was interesting because the Voice Bible says, Jesus said to him, get out of my face. And what I thought was interesting about that is the next passage, the devil took him somewhere else. Jesus said, get out of my face, and the devil didn't go anywhere. You think about that. Says, get behind me. Come on with me up to this next place. Jesus didn't get deterred because the enemy didn't go poof and disappear when he said, get thee behind me. He wasn't moved by that. Yet we'll speak to something and it doesn't look like it's moving, we fall to pieces. I spoke to it. Why it's still there? Why you're doubting? You didn't believe it was going to move when you said it. The pastor, that's kind of hard. No, it's the truth. Because if you did, you wouldn't be questioning it after the fact. After the fact wouldn't matter. Because the fact is, you spoke it in faith, God's going to make it happen. And you're not backing away from it. That's the fact. And if we stay locked in on that, circumstances won't mean anything to us. And right now they do. See, the enemy will always push the envelope, folks, because he's going to find out if you really know who you are and if you mean what you say. And the only way he's going to find out is by pushing the envelope. See, that's why you have to pay attention. That's why you have to develop these fundamentals, because until the disciples met that particular demon, they had 100% success with every other demon they faced. They were casting them out. But this one knew something. This one was not a novice. And he's like, I'm not coming out. No, not now. I'm not ready to leave. So now what are you going to do? They did nothing. Nothing. I thought it was interesting. Your teacher tells you, I've given you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He sent you out and told you, cast out devils, heal the people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you do that. Now you encounter something that's showing resistance. He's not there. But then when he shows up, the first person that he should see is not that boy's father. It should be his disciples. Jesus, we tried to cast out a demon and nothing happened. We want to help this person, and he doesn't seem to be responding to us. They didn't even do that. They're probably afraid. Because when you read that in other accounts, and it shows how that demon would put on a display, they probably saw that, and they're like, whoa! Look at, have you ever seen anything like that? Nah, I never seen nothing like that before. What are you going to do? I don't know. You want to try casting it? I'm not going near him. No, that's the attitude we have, because we're not paying attention. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then what he said goes, period. And if that thing doesn't know it, then it's your job to let him know that you know who you are. The early church was threatened in Acts 4. They were concerned because, you know, the beggar was healed at the gate Beautiful. And they didn't want the disciples to teach in Jesus' name. So they threatened them. And they didn't make idle threats. They knew how to put a hurting on you. And the disciples said, because they were locked in, folks. They were locked in. And they were commanded not to speak or teach in Jesus' name. And Peter and John said, whether it be right in the sight of God to obey you or God, you judge. But then they said something that was key. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were paying attention. They were locked in. And they didn't care how many times they were threatened and straightly threatened and further threatened. They didn't care. They were going with what they were taught, period. And everything else had to line up. That was their attitude. Yeah, I have to endure fatigue while my body is replenishing, you know, my hemoglobin. So what? I'm here. I'm moving around. Okay. Yeah, in a fight, you sometimes get punched in the nose. But that doesn't mean you lose the fight. Well, what does it mean? It means you got punched in the nose. That's all it means. Stay in the battle because it's already been determined that you win. That's a fundamental. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. If you pay attention to that, you stay locked into that, doesn't matter what kind of fight you're in. You win. You win. The Amplified Bible. Well, let me do it in the King James, going back to Luke 4, verse 9. It said, and he brought him to, that means the devil brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, again, trying to put doubt in there, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering him said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, Jesus was paying attention. He understood what Psalm 91 meant. Okay, let me share it with you in a couple of other translations. And this is why, folks, you can't just read the King James. You have to read other translations and things so you can find out exactly what's going on. It said, in the Message Bible says, he ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. Their job is to keep you from falling. It doesn't say their job is to catch you because you want to jump off a high mountain. Okay? He said, you'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. And the Amplified Bible makes it even clearer. So for he will give his angels a special charge over you. Listen to this. To accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. See, he's talking about they'll keep you while you're doing what you're supposed to do. Jesus understood that. And the devil deliberately tried to give it a different meaning, just like he did in the garden. The difference between the two was Jesus was paying attention. Jesus understood the principles. Jesus understood the fundamentals. And he's like, no, this isn't for me just because I'm Jesus. I want a thrill ride, so I'll just jump off this mountain. Whee, angels catch me. No, as you're going about doing what God has called you to do, there are angels there to keep you. And you need to understand that. The devil does not want me to fulfill my assignment. As Pastor Sad would say, Tuffy the mouse on him, because I'm fulfilling it. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. See, so the devil has a program, okay? And he's going to come with waves of stuff, to see if you've been paying attention. That's what he's going to find out. And he'll know when you start looking at the stuff, when you hear yourself saying, how much more do I have to take? You become unlocked. You're no longer locked in to what God has said. You're now locked into the circumstance. Now you have a concern about what you're going through. You have a concern that you might not be able to take it anymore. When Jesus said, I've given you power over all the power. So if you have power over all the power of the enemy, why are you getting upset when the enemy tries to use all his power? I mean, wouldn't you? At least you should. I mean, if I'm going to defeat someone, I'm going to use everything in my arsenal because I know I got something that's going to work. I don't care what it is. Well, I do care what it is because it can't be anything ungodly, but you know what I mean. Well, but the devil doesn't care. He has your name, Moses Rivers, has all these things he's going that he has to try and get you to stop being locked in to what God has called you to do. You have to pay attention to those things which you have seen and heard. You have to pay attention to those things that's been taught. You need to understand the fundamentals behind them. So, see, the demon came out when Jesus said, come out, because he was locked in. And he knew that Jesus knew who he was. See, I don't want Jesus to say, how many times do I have to go over this with you? I didn't want Pastor Clinton to have to say that to me anymore. You know, but I want you to understand this. The devil doesn't have an unlimited supply of temptations. But he's going to give you everything he's got. And he's going to give it to you every time because he's going to try and wear you down. And if we and his disciples paid attention, we would realize that we were given the same measure of power that Jesus has over the enemy. The same. Folks, I can't give you what I don't have. If I have power and I give you, he didn't say he gave them some power. He gave them power over all the power of the enemy. It's not, I'm going to read this because I don't want you to miss it. It's not just power to endure, tolerate, or ignore. And too many times that's what we think it is. We'll act like it's not happening. No, it's happening. And you need to do something about it. It's power over all the power of the enemy. Over. Need to understand that. Power over. That means the power that we have is superior to anything the devil can come up with. We have to pay attention to that. We have to understand that, and we have to act like it. I don't care. Devil comes with a big gun. You got a bigger one. Movie Crocodile Dundee. They're walking down the street. Some of you are laughing because you remember that scene, right? Guy pulls out a knife. He says, oh, no, he has a knife. Gets it. That's not a knife. This is a knife. What happened to those guys? They went running off. Devil shows up. I got power. That's not power. This is power. Okay? I mean, that needs to be our attitude. Because nothing shall in any ways harm us. Are you locked into that? As I close, whenever you allow your attention to be divided, you need to understand that your concentration is compromised. And if your concentration is compromised, you've now fallen into the category of being double-minded, unstable in all your ways. And when you speak to the mountain, it'll laugh at you. Because the Bible says, don't let that person think he'll receive anything that he asks for. I don't want to be in that position where I shouldn't even think that I'll receive anything that I ask for. I want to maintain this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know he hears me with what I ask, I know I have the petitions that I've placed before him. That's the confidence that I want to keep. And the only way I'm going to keep it is to continue to pay attention to what God said. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to be taught the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. The Bible says you have need of milk when you should be eating strong meat. Why are you still on milk? You're not paying attention. Now listen. Listen. Don't think for a moment that you're not going to walk out of this room and the enemy's going to find, come to you to find out if you were paying attention. You should expect it. You should expect it. I mean, think about it. When a boxer steps into the ring, he doesn't expect to sit down for a cup of tea. What does he expect? A fight. He expects it. When he came to the arena, he expected it. We have to pay attention, folks, so that we know when the enemy comes. And he's going to come in ways that are extremely personal to you. If you let him, he'll run roughshod over all your emotions. And that thing that you thought would never, ever happen will happen. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay locked in to who you are, or are you going to fall to pieces? You're going to come across demons who know who they are. You're going to come across influences. You're going to come across demonic presence. You're going to come across stuff that knows who they are and they know what their purpose is. And I'm going to tell you, like Pastor Clinton told me, it doesn't matter what they do. All that matters is that you know who you are, you've paid attention, and you're acting like you know who you are. You have power. Tell your neighbor, you have power over all the power that the enemy possesses. There isn't anything that the enemy has that you don't have power over. I tell them, turn to the other neighbor. I think it's about time we started acting like we know this. Folks, Muhammad Ali, you know, when he'd get into one of his rants, he would scream out and say, I'm a bad man. Well, that's the way we should feel ourselves about us as believers. You know, we don't care what our attitude is. There isn't anything that the devil has that does not fall under the power that I have. I mean, that's the bottom line. Does that mean you're not you'll never go through stuff? No. You know what it means? You go through. That's what it means. You complete your assignment. That's what it means. I've been walking around up here, you know, just trying to see if this was going to go away, but it's not. All right. So you might as well come on down if there's some stuff going on in your body, because it just won't leave me alone, because you've been given too much glory, too much honor, too much power to the symptom, the diagnosis, whatever it is. I know how that feels. I used to do the same thing. I used to do the same thing. As our oldest son would say, truth be told, there's some things I was just flat out afraid of. Why? Because I studied their reputation. I paid attention to the things that they've done and didn't pay attention to what God has done with those things. And we need to develop the mindset that doesn't matter what the symptoms are, doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, I've paid attention to God's word and I believe what he has said concerning this body and concerning my life and concerning the things that he's called me to do. And I'm not backing away from it. Period. I'm not backing away. Yes, come on.